Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get started for our next talk here at the Pavilion. We have a panel, and our panelists, we have Mickey Mullen, born on the West Coast, grew up in Arkansas, and came to New Hampshire by way of New Jersey. To his left, we have Kitty Michelotti. Thank you. So Kitty grew up in Connecticut and New York, lived in Colorado for about a decade, did time in Massachusetts for a few years before finally finding her home in New Hampshire in 2013. Raising libertarian children, she wasn't going to happen using traditional methods of education, so Kitty chose homeschooling and joined many co-ops to try and find her tribe. 4 years ago at Porkfest, Sharon Osborne approached Kitty and asked if she wanted to start a homeschool resource center, and Latitude Learning Resources in Derry, New Hampshire was born. Now hundreds of homeschool families have found an educational community that aligns with their children's educational needs now as well as their libertarian goals for the future. Then we have our other panelists, Jay Noon. He's a farmer, a father, monogamous husband, and has a passion for investing in our posterity and is the creator of Man Camp. And our moderator for this panel is Constance Spencer. Constance is an early mover, co-producer of Porkfest, where we all are enjoying ourselves. Parent of four, she moved to New Hampshire during difficult times in her life and has made a large impact on a number of other free state movers as a realtor and founder of the Independence Realty Group. She tells her story of the difficulties she had to inspire others to make the move and their lives better in New Hampshire. Round of applause.
All right, thanks everyone for coming. So we are actually short a panelist. I don't know if he'll jump in a bit, but we are going to talk about being prepped. And I like that this is a small crowd. We're being recorded, so you know, like, don't share any of your prepping secrets that you don't want people in the wide, great big world out there to know about. But I moved here from Alaska, and I definitely learned after 9/11 that planes close down and you can't get food in Alaska. So I've been kind of prepping half-heartedly for a long time. But I felt like moving to New Hampshire was going to be way more prepared than the food stores that I had in Alaska. And so you don't get a Pavilion spot, even if you're co-producer, unless Dennis gives it to you. So I had to convince him that this was a valuable topic, and I think it really is. And we've got people here that we're going to discuss all the different ways that the only real preparation, the only way you can be fully prepared for whatever is coming, is to be in New Hampshire. So we're going to make that case. Hopefully everybody here will we'll learn something and catch the prepping vibe from us. So let's start with Kitty. She's volunteering. So I asked Kitty because when you think of prepping, do you think of like food and guns and maybe silver or gold, right? Like that's water. Water is super important for prepping. I brought Kitty on because she can talk about those things, but she doesn't have to, because what she's doing to be prepped is so key to being prepped that I think that we should let her kind of talk about what she's done here in New Hampshire.
For the record, I was not volunteering. So yes, food, guns, water, the main shelter, all the things that you need, you have to defend. And it's so much easier to defend them when you have a community. I spent the last 2 hours arming 96 children with boffers. I'm building community. One of the ways you build it is, at least for women, when you build community, you build it through conversations and through doing community things together. A lot of men like to build community through doing projects together. And so I've spent a lot of time talking to other women about how they would feel more prepared, more secure. A lot of us end up talking about gardening. We end up talking about food security. We really focus on feeding our families because that's where we have a lot of our time spent. Whether it's raising our own animals, whether it's knowing our local farmers, knowing how to secure half a cow and having three people to share a full cow with, finding people who will help you build the things that you need to build. It's really hard to do everything on your own. It's hard to build it on your own, it's hard to maintain it on your own, and it's hard to defend it on your own. So building a community of like-minded people around you, we don't agree on everything. There are some people that I have really completely different views with on whether it's child rearing, whether it's religion, whether it's how they choose to educate their kids. But at the core of it, we have built people who will show up when we need to load pigs on a trailer, and will show up at someone else's house when a tree comes down on their garden and will help them cut it up. And it's that kind of thing that makes the burden lighter, and it also makes the future look a little brighter because you know you're not going to be going it alone.
Thank you. And now we'll go to food. I know I'm looking at you, Mickey, but homesteading with Jay, because I've asked everybody to talk like 5 minutes about their particular specialty with prepping, and then we're going to like ask questions and kind of put all the pieces together so you can see the frame that we're working on.
My specialty in prepping has changed since I had kids. I wasn't prepping. It totally changed once my daughter was born. I moved to a homestead because I wanted to be independent. I moved to New Hampshire because I wanted to be here with the like-minded community. I always wanted to be on a homestead, just a big chunk of land where I could have, you know, junk cars and equipment and, you know, a bunch of metal and nobody's going to bother me. And then after my kids were born, I decided I wanted to farm again. I grew up farming, and you don't make any money farming unless you're a government-subsidized corporate farm. It's the only way you make money farming. Or unless you have a community that wants to buy your product because they understand what it is and they understand the difference between something that's raised on a homestead versus something that's raised in, you know, on a corporate feedlot, you know, somewhere in Kansas, fed all GMO food and stuff like that. So prepping for me has sort of become like the idea of my prepping is looking towards the future. So essentially what I'm doing now is I'm just, and since Cypress has been born, my daughter, she's three, is I'm just teaching my kids how to be useful, productive people, you know, by the time they're old enough to be parents themselves, is sort of my goal. And the only way I feel that we can achieve liberty in our lifetime is to basically encourage the next generation to want to be libertarians themselves. So my idea, like Man Camp, is something I did here at Pork Fest 4 years ago, and I've kind of been doing it at home a little bit, on and off. It's my homeschool curriculum to like to create confidence in mankind, or reinstate confidence in mankind. So Man Camp went from forging, welding, and blacksmithing to toddler activities, because I have toddlers. Now it's planting, you know, seeds and seedlings in the garden. And Shallon does a lot of that every week at our place. We have a homeschool co-op, and we've been doing that this spring. And so now we have a bunch of kids coming from other places and families and moms mostly, some dads. And they're working with their kids, you know. I mean, the kids are from 6 months old to like 12 years old, and they're just doing all kinds of farm chores. And they're just getting an understanding of, you know, what farming is, and they're having fun doing it with the likes, you know, with the community, with the other kids. They're all learning how to work together, and they're getting a dopamine hit from these activities. Another really great thing about being here in this particular community is all the moms are sort of on, and the parents are on like the same level. Their kids, nobody's showing up. And no kids are looking at devices when they come to my place and do the toddler man camp. And so the kids aren't distracted by stuff. They're focused on having a good time doing these things. And so I'm just training them all to be farmers, because that's what I'm doing with my kids, is training them to be farmers, basically. So, you know, they're helping us pull weeds out of the ground and pick the grass that I would have to weed whack, put it in the little Red Ryder wagons and haul it off to the cows and feed the cows. So they're doing all the farm chores. And a homestead is a really good opportunity to do that for your own family. And when kids grow up to where they get their dopamine hit from feeding the chickens, collecting the eggs, breaking the eggs open, and then, you know, eating the omelet afterwards, that's a dopamine loop I'm encouraging. That is very obtainable on a homestead. And I feel that I got no greater purpose in life than to do the investment in our posterity and provide an opportunity for people to do that. And I can't think of a better place anywhere in the world than right here in New Hampshire to do that, just because there's so many other people that really understand, sort of by default as libertarians, the investment that they need to put into their kids, and they're willing to do it and they want to do it. And it's turning into a beautiful thing. And, you know, I had no idea I was going to do this when I moved to New Hampshire, but like I said, it changed.
Thanks, Jay. All right. We're going to go to Mickey, who I've asked to talk about firearms, black metal, those types of prepping. However, as you can see, this isn't just like, this is what you should own. This is, I specifically asked him because he's newer to this prepping, and has, similar to Jay, very young children that he wants to protect. So I'll let you take over.
How many people in here have never owned or shot a firearm? A couple of folks? So one of the interesting things about firearms is they do not work the way they do in the movies. So there's a good bit you can talk about with regard to prepping that is, you know, you should have this kind of gun and these kind of ammunition. I will talk a bit about that. But one of the most important things about it is to make sure that you train with your equipment. Because they go bang. They go bang really, really loud, and they move. And so if you don't do that, then if a threat happens, if something occurs to your home or your family, you might have the tools but not be able to use them. So one of the most important things after safety is make sure you are training with your tools. Now, having said that, there's a couple of things to think about. Home defense and self-defense. They can be the same tools, but be aware of what you're going to do in a situation. In a prepping standpoint, I think that there is a recurring theme here, which is community. When I talk about firearms, I have a group of people that we discuss a lot of things. We discuss different ways to train. We did a cool thing one time where we were like training with weights out in the woods. So in order to pretend that we were under duress, we would carry a kettlebell, throw it, run to the kettlebell, shoot from there, and then do a series of other things, running uphill, downhill, because bad things happen and your body doesn't work the same way under duress as it does at home. So I guess that's along the training lines again. So back to the weapons themselves. I like to think of two weapons as being good to have. One is a sidearm. So having a pistol that you can carry on your person at all times, which means it should be big enough to be controllable and small enough to be concealable. In New Hampshire, you don't have to conceal, and there's a lot of talk about whether it's better to open carry or conceal carry, and I don't care. Like, whichever one you do, have your tools on you, because we as peaceful people do not get to decide when violence occurs. That is decided by violent people. So we want to be able to have the training and the tools so that we can respond to those threats. Almost everything that we prepare for is going to be created by someone else, some nefarious person who doesn't care that you're peaceful, who doesn't care that you don't want violence. They commit the violence. It is our responsibility to be able to respond to that in a way that protects ourselves and our family. The other one is a home defense gun. Like I said, that can be the same as a pistol. I like an AR platform for home defense, some kind of rifle. The reason for this is rifles are more deadly than handguns. And not that we want to hurt people, but if people mean us harm, the most important thing is to stop them from harming us. A rifle is able to be held and steadied at multiple points, unlike a pistol, which is much smaller. It is able to be more easily fired, especially an AR-15, by someone who is less physically powerful, and it's more accurate. So it's more effective, more accurate, easier to fire. So those are three really good qualities to have on a home defense item, especially since almost any time that you can imagine this happening, you are not going to have a lot of warning. So the last thing is, how do you establish things in your home so that you can respond to threats? And there are a number of things, and I also have small children, so what I do to prepare has to take that into account. I can't leave a gun on the nightstand because that would be disastrous. Well, actually, matter of fact, I do leave a gun on the nightstand in a safe. So I have a safe that my son loves to play with, but it won't open for him because it's mine. When I train, when I go to either a firing range or to somewhere, there are quite a few people who have ranges of their own out in the woods on their property. But in either case, train with the tools that you're going to be using. Train with the holster that you're going to be using. And
how about we make that your summary, and we'll come back to other info. You got anything?
And to summarize, I'll come back later.
And Elu, you can do your intro too, and then. No, you have to turn on.
All right. Sorry for being late. I was doing other prepping stuff, teaching a grappling class. And in addition to everything else, and going off what Mickey said about self-defense, which I'm a big proponent of carrying, I think everyone should know how to defend themselves in every way with their bare hands and any other tools, including pistols. So I was teaching a Brazilian jiu-jitsu grappling class, and it was fantastic. It was bigger than I thought, and it ran long. Sorry. So I'm going to talk about alternative currencies to the failing U.S. dollar, the FRNs. So what I like using for currency and what I use at Porkfest and when I'm at home in southern New Hampshire is goldbacks, silver bits, and cryptocurrencies. So far, I've sold some of my books at my site for goldbacks and crypto and some FRNs, some US dollar as well. I think from the prepping angle, the reason everyone here should make it their mission to familiarize themselves with the knowledge and the ideas behind the currency, what money is, and alternative currencies, but also get familiar with the tools and how to use them. Goldbacks are very simple. It's a bill that I have in my wallet. I have a bunch on me right now. They're 1/1000th of an ounce of gold, and they have bigger denominations, 5, 10, 25, and 50, and it's 24 karat gold, and you can give it to someone, and it says right on it, 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. So that's simple. Silver bits, 1/10th of an ounce of silver, and other silver products are simple, but crypto is a little bit more involved. So for those who are not yet familiar with crypto, you might have to get a wallet. There are a few apps you can download onto your phone, on whatever kind of phone you have, at the Play Store or App Store. And it's pretty simple nowadays. 10, 20 years ago, when crypto was first starting out in like 2014, it was difficult. You had to be, I think, technologically pretty savvy, which I am not, in order to use cryptocurrency to get some, but also to exchange it. Nowadays, it's gotten as simple as, I compare it to like Venmo or PayPal or Zelle. It's kind of like Venmo, where you can scan a person's QR code, or you can put in their address. A crypto address, it's not like their email address. It'll be a very long, like 20 characters of numbers and letters. And it's just very long. So you can copy and paste it, send it to them. And if Jay wants to buy a book for, you know, 5 gold backs worth or whatever, 20 bucks, 25 bucks, I'll send him my address, or he'll scan my code if he's in person. He'll send it to me, send me the digital currency, whatever crypto it is, and then I can give him the product. So I would say get familiar with using it. Like, one of the great things about New Hampshire, and one of the like dozens of reasons I think it's the best place to be if you like liberty, and if you want to be prepared for any kind of bad event happening in the future, which we all know this, there's a 100% chance some bad things will happen. One of the best things is we have a thriving community of thousands of people here who are very familiar with using it every day, not just at Porkfest or once in a while or proof of concept. Regularly, on my spreadsheet, I have the books I've sold. Dozens and dozens, maybe over 100 books I've sold for goldbacks and silver and crypto, or other barter. So I'll barter for other products like meat. So we have a community, it's already built in, so when the dollar collapses, we don't really have to take years learning how to use crypto and getting people on board. We have hundreds of businesses that accept gold backed, silver, crypto, all sorts of other currencies. So we're already ahead, whereas the other 49 authoritarian states will have to play catch up once the dollar plummets. So that's kind of the technical, practical aspect. But I think we should all familiarize ourselves with the economics of what is money. I finally wrote an article on my site, Liberty Block, like a few weeks ago, explaining, just titled, What is Money? And I explain the basics. Money was created, whatever, hundreds or thousands of years ago, as a form of exchanging value, because the value I have from working, whether that's a service or a product, if I have my product, if it's wheat or fish or meat or cows, I can't, they're not portable, they're not divisible, they're not durable, they can't last a long time. So I kind of go through like seven or eight different characteristics money should have in my article, explaining why we don't barter. Obviously, it was natural, spontaneous order over the centuries that money developed as a stand-in, a replacement, a surrogate for that other value, and we all in a society essentially accept that certain things have value in the free market, and competition in money had it so that gold and silver and others, and the best that rose to the top in every country individually was gold and silver. And that's why historically, pretty much every society forever until a few decades ago used gold and silver. And the United States had a gold-backed currency actually until, I think, 1971, Nixon totally took us off the gold backing. But the dollar was redeemable for gold.
I'm going to cut you off there, because you can tell people where they can get all that information at the end. We're going to circle back for you to tell people where they can check this out. So we have to move on to first I want to talk about how I've been prepping since I got to New Hampshire, and then we're going to discuss and open it up for questions as well. So I wanted to talk about like being prepared now for later in a financial sense. I moved, and there's a call from my kid. I moved here, and I had to leave my marriage soon after moving here, and so I have four kids, and two of them are adults now, but this was years ago, and it was really, in Alaska, like I said, I knew there was a level of prepping that I had to do, but the, that's two calls from the kids. So why don't you guys start talking about something? I have to take this because two calls from my kid, I don't ignore.
How is everyone? let's see, Kitty, you were the first one to speak. What are some of the advantages that you've seen in community? I know you've gone to quite a lot. So what are some of the things that have happened that have been noticeable improvements?
Having lived in Connecticut, New York, and Colorado, and here, there are things I can do here I could never do in any of the other states. My parents have a beautiful property in New York. It's 100 acres. It has its own gravity-fed water system. It could be an ideal bug-out location, except for the fact that it's in New York. They say two is one is none. I wholeheartedly agree with that, with everything that has to do with prepping, whether it is the core group of people you have around you that you know you can call, whether you're about to get arrested, whether something is melting down on your homestead, whether your kid needs a ride somewhere. And then you go out a little bit further. Well, who's gonna help me take care of X, Y, and Z? We have cows, pigs, chickens. No, we don't have cows yet. We have pigs, chickens, and rabbits on our little homestead, and right now I can be here at Porkfest because I have friends who are not necessarily libertarian who stay home and help me take care of my homestead, and it's kind of fantastic. I also have other people who can help run the homeschool co-op while I am here because they are also not necessarily libertarian, and they are still running summer camp while I get to be here. One of the biggest compliments I have received about the homeschool co-op we have is that it feels a little bit like Porkfest some days. And I don't really think there's a better compliment than that. Because a lot of the kids feel like they can walk through the door and just be who they are. And having traveled to several countries, many states, that's never happened anywhere but here in New Hampshire, where I've always felt like I can just be who I am My kids will be accepted for who they are. And it starts here at Porkfest, and there's really, this is the only place that that happens. And it moves from Porkfest into our little communities as we take how we feel here and recreate that at home. And we can do that with a dinner party. We can do that with a homeschool co-op. We can do that with a meal. We can do that with a holding a cryptocurrency class with just some friends. Hey, I'm going to talk about this tonight. Come on over and have a beer. Training with people in the woods. There's so many different ways to build the community that not just make us stronger in the skills that we are looking for, but also in the people that we are training with. And we only get better from there. We feel more prepared. And in feeling more prepared, we can help prepare others who may not feel as capable as we do. And as we prepare the people who don't feel as capable, the community itself gets stronger.
Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't an emergency, guys. I can keep talking. My 18-year-old is volunteering for Rangers, so that was actually a management question, and I thought it was a kid question, so that was dealt with. So when I moved here, things got really, really bleak for me, and I was very financially insecure and feeding four kids without any support from their dad, and I threw myself into working, and I became a realtor, and I was a bookkeeper, and I was doing both, because I needed the steady income from being a bookkeeper. And I've always been interested in investing in real estate. And I actually got the idea for this prepping panel because Jay was on a cash versus crypto versus silver debate. And it was great, but the whole time I was there, I was thinking, but if we're really gonna be prepped, we have to have wealth now. Like a lot of the questions that they were getting, like which is the best currency only mattered to people that actually have currency, right? If it doesn't matter to you if you've got a dollar or a fraction of a Bitcoin or one gold bag if you can't feed yourself. So I've focused on helping buying multifamily properties and renting those and building my net worth and helping other people do that as a realtor. But also, I love doing it here in New Hampshire because we have unique tenants. We're renting to future movers. We're renting to people that we know are going to move here and make New Hampshire freer and better. And we can immediately plug them into the community. So if they have kids, I have them tour Latitude, or I tell them about Jay's homeschooling thing. And that, to me, is a huge part of being prepped, and it wasn't talked about in that particular debate, but it gave me the idea that we need to talk about other things as well. You know, I now own multiple multifamilies that are completely occupied by free staters. So I don't have the homestead. In Alaska, I raised pigs. I had permaculture, I had garden beds, I made my own cloth diapers. Like, I did all those things alone in Alaska. But here, well, I had a small friend group, you know. But here, I have this amazing community, and everybody's doing a different piece that speaks to them. And for me, helping people through real estate and building my net worth and making my kids' futures more secure has to be done now. And I don't trust putting my money in a stock market. You know, I want it in something that I can physically control, and having a bunch of like-minded people as my tenants and then helping them buy the multifamilies when they're ready is really important to me to be prepared. Okay, I got that part. That was mine. I'm gonna cut myself off now. And we'll, now I've got a ranger calling me. Sorry guys, this is what happens when you talk and you co-produce. So one of the things when I asked all these folks to be on the panel is that they all said, well, I could talk about all those things. So 2 minutes or less, he's terrified. I want you to tell me if I picked the right topic for you for this panel of the things we talked about, or how many of the things you're involved in. All right, we'll start with you, Mickey, because you looked scared.
No.
Okay.
No, in fact, I think that what I have, I moved to New Hampshire right after Porkfest, like right after, the week after Porkfest in 2019. And what I have done since I've been here is build community. Like I was running a couple of different monthly events. I just produced Liberty Forum this year with my wife, and have encouraged connections. So I would say that the thing that has resonated most with me is community. But the thing is, as I said when I was doing my talk, I incorporated that into self-defense because, like, I'm part of a group of people who are passionate about defense and community.
I think so. I mean, I do homesteading. I do home education. Pretty much, if you can do it at home, I try to do it. Home birthing, home, you know, making our own food, making our own everything. And I'm really grateful to be on the panel because I like learning from all these folks. But I also know that having accessibility to, yeah, the community has been the most amazing part of being in New Hampshire and being able to talk about our experiences hopefully will make it more accessible to all of you because this isn't anything, like, I was sitting there. I often sit there. So each of you probably has some piece of wisdom that you could share that we don't know, and this is how we start that conversation.
So I think I was asked to talk about the, you know, right thing, homesteading, and I could comment on all this stuff, but I got to say, what's really the most important thing in life is just your own personal happiness. And I look at my homestead is my entertainment. And I don't need to go to the city and, you know, spend money on entertainment. I'd sort of get that, you know, particular dopamine hit fulfilled right on my property with my kids and my family and, you know, my friends and their families coming there and doing stuff. So the community is a huge thing. We also host an event called Gun Church. Which we haven't been doing quite so much of lately because we're just so busy, but, you know, we really did a lot of it in 2020 because, actually, we doubled it. We did it twice a month because you couldn't do anything else. And that really brought community together. So we get to, you know, at the Gun Church event, you really get to learn, you know, who the guy is that you want to give your gun to in case you need to, for example. And you also get to learn who the guy is that you don't want to give your gun to. Actually, I can't think of any of those guys, you know, the guys you don't want to off the top of my head. But, and even just a fellowship of, like, last week, I had a bunch of toddlers and moms stacking hay. And right there, you know, that was, like, just, you know, we could see that, like, you know, the strengths and the weaknesses, and we could work on the weaknesses a little bit and help out each other and make each other just stronger and better. And when you work with each other just on a regular, whether it's farming or gun training, when you need to work with each other in an emergency situation or a call to action, you don't have to figure a lot of things out. If you've been working just stacking hay with a guy, you can do other things with that guy too and just have it figured out.
So to summarize, Jay, homesteading's the right topic for you, but for you, homesteading is way more than just growing food by yourself. It is very much a community building activity.
Thank you, yes.
Okay, just checking. And Alu?
No, but I think for me, I was the second option or third or fourth because Silver Dave, I think, was probably the first, yes. which is fine. Obviously, I'm not the most qualified in the universe to talk about precious metals, but that's fine. And I work with Silver Dave, and I'm in the precious metal space a little bit, and I love it, and I'm a huge fan of it. What would have been the number one thing for me is self-defense. I'm a tremendous gun rights activist. I've been writing articles and books and doing podcasts about it for 6 years. So I'm very big on gun rights and weapons and overall self-defense. I've been doing martial arts since 2008, I believe. And I teach, and that's what I was just doing now. So I think self-defense and overall health, health and fitness and nutrition and all that stuff might be the best topic for me. I'd like to talk about maybe in the future. I'm also a paramedic as my real job, so I've been in emergency medicine since 2011, so that's a big part of my life as well. So I would say that could be a great topic, but I'm obviously happy to stand in for Silver Dave and talk a bit about Silver and Gold and and crypto and all the other stuff, so I can talk about that. I was at the debate as well, and it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
So thank you very
much. And that's a community event. So if you're getting the theme that there's a lot of community here, and that Porkfest is just a sample of what becomes an amazing life when you move, that's what you're supposed to be taking in here. I wish we could do like four more topics of things that being prepped, and your health is definitely there. Top of the list. I don't know, how do you list this? Some of the folks up here have hubs or events going on. I want them just to, like, again, real quick, tell people where they can find you to get more information, and then if you guys have questions, please line up at the mic. We're kind of at that time in our talk. So, Alu?
Yeah, I'm at RV1, and that is the first spot when you come in by the lift gate, by that arm. Let's look to the left and you'll see me. I have the Liberty Block, which is my website, publication, podcast, articles, and I have my 9 books for sale, and I have some other stuff, an ice cold beer, water, electrolyte drinks, and caffeine drinks, and probably some other stuff there too as well. And I'm doing some clinics. I just did a grappling clinic, and I'm doing a boxing clinic, I believe, Thursday at 4, and I'm giving a few talks at my site, RV1, and at Firesteel, and a debate at Free State Based, RV60, I believe. So on the schedule, I'm doing a few talks and stuff. And I'm trying to play football every day at 1 p.m. around. So I played a little bit today, and it was awesome. And come play football and everything active. I love fighting. I love grappling. Any fighters here, any boxers, please come find me. I'd love to fight. So thank you.
I would also like to give you a plug that some of my best friends have kids in your classes, and they say that you are absolutely the best instructor they've ever had for their kids, because you respect the kids and you listen to them. And a lot of the classes that they've tried, it was a lot of, like, you must do this discipline of kids, and yours is so much more effective. So thank you. Jay, do you have any a hub or
yes.
talks?
I am at RV Site 55, and I set up man camp again. So we will be doing some blacksmithing, and I have simple projects that I've had kids as young as 6-year-olds, 6 years old do, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you can come make a coat hook, make a coat rack, a squirrel cooker, a couple other things we got going on for blacksmithing projects. Also, I'm doing a talk in the media room Saturday at 4 p.m., and the talk is titled Internet Devices Are Basically Cocaine for Your Children. And Wednesday and Friday at the Porky Pints, I will be also doing a talk that's at 7 p.m. I did one last night. And it's a series of talks kind of on investing in our posterity. And I also have a hamburger and patties and ground beef from a cow that was one of my cows for sale. And I also have Bardo pork for sale at RV Site 55 frozen in the freezer. So come by and see us.
And I could also compliment you.
Thank you.
He took an interest in my son after my divorce, and he invited him frequently out to man camp. And one time I took all four kids, and that might be the 6-year-old. They all worked on a project, and it was a great experience. So I definitely recommend people check out the man camp for their kids. And Kitty?
I also want to say thanks, Jay, because my eldest is going to be doing blacksmithing with you, and said that you were cool with that, and then you also got my youngest son, my middle son, into crypto when he was 8.
Right.
I appreciate that.
I think
that.
I paid him to haul the trash in crypto or something.
Yes, you did. I'm at Tent Site 30. I'm usually surrounded by kids. Come talk to me anytime. I'm talking about herbalism tomorrow morning at Porcupines at 9 o'clock. I'm talking about homeschooling all week long because I love it. I don't really know the times, but you'll see me.
Thursday at 9 in the home tent.
Oh.
Because it's the home tent.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Mickey?
Hi.
So while I'm here, I'm at Tent Site 37. You can locate it pretty easily. I think I'm the only one here who has a yurt.
Yep.
So that's me. I'm also online, all kinds of online. If you can spell my name, you can find me in most places. That's Mickey like the mouse, with an E. And my last name is Mullen, in like Flint, I-N. I'm on Twitter, and actually, interestingly, I have a series of videos that I'm editing for house hacking. As I bought a somewhat fixer-upper, that needed some fixing upping. So, same name on YouTube. Those aren't up yet.
All right, so what about questions? You guys have questions? Comments?
So where would you guys say the largest, most active, most cohesive community is in New Hampshire, the types you're talking about, libertarian sort of communities?
I think location?
Yeah, I'd say for towns. Can you flip that back off?
There was some room echo.
Something happened after you.
If somebody could turn the gain down on that channel, that would be good.
Yeah. So I would say Manchester, but I would be biased because I live there, and there's definitely the most porcupines there, and we're doing, you know, the things that we can inside the city. Like, I'm planting food in my yard now that I have a yard that I'm going to stay for a few years. I've done house hacking for a little bit. But as a realtor, I would say that there isn't an area that isn't fairly concentrated with porcupines now working together. And so sometimes your values are so aligned that you're willing to drive quite far for a school. Like, we have people that drive over an hour for Latitude. And sometimes you're just fortunate that you live in a place that there's a lot of other free staters. Do you guys have other things?
I would say Manchester area for sure. I'm biased. I'm in the area. I live in Hooksett, just above Manchester. But I don't think it's disputed that it has the most and the densest population of porcupines in that area.
Libertarians are people. So where you find people, you find libertarians. I say that facetiously, but it's also true. Like, the greatest number of people is also going to have the largest number of libertarians, or free staters, as I should say, to not limit too much. But one of the words that you said was cohesive, and I think it's really interesting that when you get sparser, it seems like that cohesion is stronger. Like, North Country, I know, has a really good community that they have. There's fewer of them, but they are really tight. So I think you find people that you align with more than trying to find a large group.
I would have to add that. So I'm 30 minutes from Manchester, 20 minutes from Concord, 45 minutes if you don't get stuck in traffic from Keene, and 45 minutes from Croydon. The reason I say Croydon, that's where Bardo Farm is. There's a tremendous community building up around Croydon, basically because of Bardo Farm. It's become an attraction. But I can be at an event every single day of the month from where I live within an hour drive, actually probably within a half an hour drive. And if you want to expand that out to an hour drive, you can probably, most days of the month, you could pick three different events to go to that are, you know, porcupine type liberty freedom events. And even like just right around me, there's got to be 30 people within, you know, a 10-mile trip that are just free staters where I am. And that's just outside of Manchester and Concord.
And I think also the further, like, the smaller towns, there's a lot of like-minded locals, so people that didn't have to move that are already in the prepper mindset or the back-to-the-land mindset or never left the land and are wanting to be self-sufficient.
Yeah. I
just don't want to leave out, we don't have any real Free Coast representatives here, but they've also built an amazing community there. That we have the Praxium for the kids there. There's like 100 plus families that are in Dover. And then the Shell and Rollinsford is another community center. So there's community centers popping up everywhere. So
it also depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for family oriented, if you're looking for farm oriented, you know, start talking to people. Where do you live? Where are you? And figure out, and politics. Great one. It really depends on what you're looking into getting involved with as far as what they're cohesing around. So.
You're welcome. I love that we're just stepping around the dog.
Turn on the mic.
Yeah, we had to just turn it on and then turn it off after the question because it's causing feedback. No, turn it on for your question.
Okay, the best resource I've ever seen for prepping is a book by Ragnar Benson called Survival Poaching. It has the most fantastic collection of traps for catching wildlife. But one that it doesn't mention is the fish hook and the popcorn for catching wild turkeys. So something else is, all the security companies use 9mm ammo because it is universally available all over the world. And I've been told that if you have 11 rabbits, you can eat one a week.
Okay. So, thank you for thank the prepping you. Tips. Do we have any other questions? Any? Go ahead.
I just have a question for a gun person. So you mentioned how AR-15s are good for home defense, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it. But so like AR-15s like penetrate everything better, like body armor, whatever it is. But they also penetrate walls better. So you gotta like be more wary of what's behind your target. And in a house, that's like very important because like a threat might come at any time. You can't always like have all your kids like behind you, right? So they might be anywhere in your property, so I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
It is certainly something to think about. There are different kinds of ammunition, and at home, when my AR-15 is staged, it's staged with defensive ammo. So it's still there's still a penetration possible with that, but it's not going to be as far. Any firearm, like even, I think the most common one that people say is shotguns, but like another thing that does not work like it does in the movies is shotguns. They will penetrate pretty far as well. So one of the rules of firearm safety is knowing your target and what's beyond it. So that is going to be something that's important always. And one of the other things that's going to be the factor into that, whether it's an AR or a 9mm or a shotgun or something else, is your home is your home turf. So you may not be able to have your kids behind you at all times, but you know your own home better than an intruder is going to. So you have a greater possibility of positioning yourself so that you are not going to fire into a room where your children are. Sir.
And for those who aren't familiar, what we mean by defensive ammo is generally hollow point, especially for handguns. Hollow points do two great things, which makes them the standard, even according to the FBI's recommendations for self-defense, the standard for self-defense. They don't penetrate very far, so they're unlikely to go through walls and people and hit other people. And they expand more, which is what slows them down, inside of a body, which makes it more lethal if someone is coming to kill you or hurt you or harm your kids or family. So that's why hollow point is the standard, at least in this universe, for self-defense. And that applies for handguns. And you can get a carbine like an AR, but with 9mm nowadays. So that's something I do utilize.
You want to comment?
The other thing you can do is, if you know if you have other people in your household, practice with them. You know, you have fire drills in your household. It's okay to have, you know, burglar drills. You can name them something age appropriate, depending on how old your kiddos are. And as your kiddos get older, you can incorporate them into these drills in different ways. Not a huge fan of certain drills that are going on in places in society right now because they tend to frighten the children instead of empowering them. And there's no better way to empower kids than to involve them in the things that you're doing that the capable adults around them are doing and train them the same way that you're training yourself.
All right, so that puts us about at time. I'm going to finish up with a final thought that when I lived in Alaska, like I said, I was prepping. We ran a gun store, so we clearly had access to firearms. And being here, I feel so much more prepared than I did there. And I hope we've conveyed the why, that this feeling that you get here at Porkfest when you visit, it's not just Porkfest. We are working on making, like as Dennis would say, Porkfest 365. So thanks for coming. Please find us at other places. I've got the Homeland venue, because I guess I didn't talk about that. I have a schedule of other places I'm going to talk in the week in the Homeland schedule, but I don't want to go over on time, because I want to thank Derek for running the pavilion for us. So thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thanks for the questions.